Well, good morning, Texas. Program number 93 from Mike Paulson in North Dakota. This is the Cup of Goodness program this morning. We are going to continue to look at all the details of the goodness of God. Not the severity of God, as preached by just about every pastor out there in their churches and from their pulpits, in their Bible studies, as they continue teaching to their people the severity of God that Jesus taught to the Jews when he was down here in the Gospels, when they go to the tribulation books, James, Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude, and the Hebrews, and those books that are written to the Jews during the tribulation. They keep trying to put that stuff in. Program number 93, we are going to continue looking back for some end samples from Jeremiah. What was it that he said to the Jews when they were rejecting the words of God? What was it that he said? What did he experience? What can we learn from Jeremiah? Now, the things that Jeremiah taught to his people, the consequences of them rejecting God are not the consequences we are fearing today. No need to. Again, that's the severity of God. When they rejected the words of the Lord, the words of God, even Jeremiah as a preacher, they ended up being slaved out to Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar is a type of Antichrist. So the similarities are there. They rejected God's words. They ended up under an Antichrist. The Gentiles rejecting God's words today end up with the real Antichrist. That's what's coming next down the road. I don't think it's very far away, but whatever. So let's just look at some more things that Jeremiah said. I realize, I think this is part 4 or part 5 of this subject again. And I wonder if you folks are starting to recognize that it may seem like I'm kind of belaboring my point. I think that's the word you would use. Am I too long on one subject? Well, listen, there's a lot of scriptures on these things. And there's no point of me just telling you what I think and telling you my 2 cents worth. I'm trying to give you as many scriptures as possible to show you what God said, the very words of God. See, if you don't believe that your Bible is the Word of God, you need to get the Bible that is the Word of God. How does that sound to you? I think this is program 93. You folks ought to know by now that this is a King James only preaching type teacher here. And we're looking to Paul. We're looking to the risen Savior, what he taught to Paul to teach us Gentiles. And I keep saying that. I've been saying that for 92 programs. I'm going to keep saying it as long as we can stay online here with you folks. I guess I shouldn't say online. I should say stay on the broadcast for you guys. Now, I know a lot of my family out there, the web family, they listen to these things off the computer, off the website, scatteredchristians.org. I've got a page there reserved just for you radio folks in the Fort Worth, Dallas area, or should I say Dallas-Fort Worth. But you go to that page and you can click on any of these programs. All 93 programs are available to you. I'm hearing from some people about what their pastors are saying, and I don't know how many of you out there are pastors just being brave enough or angry enough to listen to this thing so you can protect your people from a guy who believes that the Word of God is the Word of God, and that to look at that Bible from the beginning to the end is in its proper dispensational order, and to think that these pastors would just get so angry, and they do. And if you're a pastor listening, you do. You actually get angry about this stuff. About what stuff? Jesus Christ died and rose again. That risen Savior is where the doctrine begins for the New Testament after the death of the testator. Those of you that teach Hebrews to the Gentiles, you should at least know that. And you also teach in Hebrews that they can lose their salvation. Why don't you teach them that? But you do teach them that God will chastise them. That's in Hebrews chapter 13. I don't know why you do that. I think that's Hebrews 12. And then you teach your people that they need to believe and follow and obey their pastors. That's in Hebrews 13, 7 and 17, I think it is. So I see why you go to Hebrews, but the name of the book ought to be a clue. Hebrews? Hebrews and Gentiles, they sound differently. They're spelled differently. Anyway, let's just go to the scriptures. Let's go to the verses. I mean, even if you guys want to preach out of an NIV this subject, you still don't go to all these verses. Verses just don't mean anything to people. Verses are scriptures. The authority of a Bible is just gone today. Have you noticed that? What does their church teach? What does your denomination teach? Where do they get their source of teachings? Do they get it from the Greek? Okay, which Greek? There's a whole flock of different Greeks out there. Which ones do they get them from? And where does their Bible go back? Does your Bible go back to Alexandria? Does it go back to Antioch? I've got a program about that. Does your Bible go back to the Catholic Church if you teach against the Catholic doctrine? Does your Bible go back to Hitler and Gerhard Kittel and that crowd? I don't think people really even care anymore. Not to get off the trail here, but you know, I think music has replaced, I'm convinced, I shouldn't say I think, those are my two cents, music has replaced the Bible in church. You get your doctrine, if you care about doctrine at all, you're getting it from your music. You're getting it from your pastor's college that he studied. Scriptures. Let's just go to the scriptures. So simple. I do get concerned because there's even Paul people, you know, the people that say they follow Paul as their apostle and their risen Savior, they have even gotten to the point where they're going to go through the YouTube and they're going to go through different online sermons and they're just going to plunk around looking for all sorts of stuff. And it seems like the churches that I've been involved with over these last years and the teachers and the things that I taught to people are always excited about Paul's doctrine. You know, the imputation, all those exciting things. But when it came to living a life that would please God, you know, the manner of life, which we'll probably be talking about here pretty soon, really isn't all that tough, really isn't even all that hard. It's just something our flesh doesn't want to do, something we don't want to do. So anyway, a lot of people just don't do the Paul thing. But if they do, they go for a little ways, then they'll lose them when it comes to the walk and that manner of life. And why not? It says here in Timothy, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine is in Titus chapter 2. That's about the day-to-day life of a Christian. But after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. That's what Paul talks about there. He says, watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. Paul's not into starting, or what they call nowadays, planting churches. He says, do the work of an evangelist. An evangelist is somebody who goes around and tells people what's going on from the scriptures, tells them what's going on in day-to-day living, tells them what's going on in their country, tells them what's going on in their neighborhood, in their family, in their personal lives. His goal isn't to build a church. His goal is to evangelize and teach and preach. Teach and preach what? The risen Savior. The teachings of the risen Savior to the Gentile nation. Okay, Jeremiah chapter 8. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 9. Here we go. This is what Jeremiah was telling the Israelites, and the same thing can be told to the Gentiles today. Just remember that if you look these up in your Old Testament, in your book of Jeremiah, just remember those consequences that those Israelites had to fear, we don't have to fear. We just have to realize that if they reject the words of God, they head off to the tribulation. That's the real Antichrist. But as far as the things that God was going to do to those people, this is the dispensation of grace, even to the lost people. Romans chapter 2 talks about that. Let's get going before the program's already done with my introduction here. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 9. The wise men are ashamed. They are dismayed and taken. Lo, they have rejected the word of the Lord. And what wisdom is in them? And go to verse 11, for they have healed the hurt of the daughter of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. Now, I know there's a lot of Bible preachers out there that preach that this country is in tough shape and things are going sour. I realize that. But there's also a flock of preachers out there on TV especially. These are the guys that have the big numbers following them because they're saying, listen, God will bless you. And they say that with this big grin and this big smile. You folks down in Texas, you got these kind of guys all the time. Or excuse me, ladies as well, or at least women anyway. And they're saying, listen, God will bless you. God will take care of you. You're not going to have to go through these troubles. We're not going to go through the tribulation. I can tell you that without doubt. The scriptures show that. But what they're saying is, listen, if you just love people, if you just love God, and if you just give beyond your means of giving, and you make that faith promise, and you just smile, and all this kind of stuff, look at the pictures and the posters and the famous quotes and the famous verses that people put up in their homes that they could buy at bookstores and all that stuff. You know, God is there. God will light up your life. You know, all this kind of stuff. What they're saying to people is peace, peace. But listen, there is no peace. The peace today is not a physical peace. It's not a kingdom of heaven, earthly kingdom peace. It is a spiritual peace. Now, if these guys are talking spiritual peace through Paul, through the risen Savior, fine, but they're not. N-O-T, bold print, not. They're saying that God will bless you, God will take care of you if you just give and come to church. He's a good Christian. Okay, so they say peace, peace, when there is no peace. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 10. Let's go to verse 19. Let's see what this one has to say here. Woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous. But I said, truly, this is a grief, and I must bear it. My tabernacle is spoiled, and all my cords are broken. My children are gone forth of me, and they are not. There is none to stretch forth my tent any more and to set up my curtains. For the pastors are become brutish and have not sought the Lord. Therefore they shall not prosper, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Now that's a little conflicting with what's going on today. Woe is me for my hurt. My wound is grievous. Truly this is a grief, and I must bear it. Yes, we must bear what's going on in this world. We must bear the rejection of the words of God. My tabernacle is spoiled. You know, those of us that still like to go to church and hear the preaching and the teaching and sing the hymns, you know, and there's a little fellowship involved and to be there with the brethren, yeah, we miss that stuff. My tabernacle is spoiled, referring to like the Old Testament church design there. My children are gone forth of me, and they are not. How many people out there, your children, are not interested in the risen Savior's teachings, you know? Okay, none to stretch forth my tent anymore. Your family's not going to grow, for the pastors are become brutish and have not sought the Lord. They seek the Greek. They think they have the originals, which the originals do not exist. They don't go to scriptures because they don't believe they have the scriptures. They don't go to the words of the Lord because they don't teach they have the words of the Lord. And yet it says here, therefore they shall not prosper. Well, they look to me like they're prospering pretty well right now. They're getting the money. They're getting the people to come into church. They're making the money. I'll tell you right now, preaching and teaching the risen Savior through Paul, the only apostle in the rightly divided King James Bible, there is no money in it. So if you think I'm doing this for money, go ahead, send me your money. I'll take it. I'll never send it back. I mean, you know, but this is not for money. There is no money in this ministry. So these guys are prospering. But you know what? That prospering is going to be very short-lived. Because once this thing is said and done, there will be no prospering. The tribulation is not a prosperous time. They can preach the prosperous gospel today, but it will not be that way in the tribulation. And they will still be here for that. And then it says, and all their flocks shall be scattered. Well, listen. Somebody who gets a hold of the rightly divided King James Bible and looks to the risen Savior through the Apostle Paul, they do leave the tabernacle. They do leave the local church, and they need to. They should. There's no doubt about it. We'll talk about that someday as well. So yes, segments of the flock, as he calls it, will be scattered. That's why my website is called www.scatteredchristians.org. We're everywhere. We're just not in big numbers anywhere. We keep tabs through email, we keep tabs through the phone, we keep tabs with each other through, you know, those kind of internet means or whatever, but we're scattered all over the place. They exist. There's people out there that believe what I'm preaching. There really are. But, like I say, when we start getting into the manner of life, man, they're not going to like that either. Okay, so there's Jeremiah. He's talking here, you know. He must bear this stuff here. Let's go to chapter 18. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 18. And let's see what Jeremiah has to say there. Verse 12, he says, and they said, there is no hope. People out there today, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. Isn't that an amazing thing? People that have no hope. Now we got this Ebola thing, or at least you guys down in Texas have this Ebola thing. And we know that this could very easily give the government an opportunity to kick in this martial law. Nobody can travel. Nobody can go places. Nobody can go into the store. I mean, you can see it coming, you know, from that standpoint. So these people say there is no hope. But yet, Do they turn to the risen Savior? Do they turn back to a King James Bible, which has been around for 400 plus years, used to be the only Bible in America? No, it says, just like the Israelites, we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. That's going by feelings when you're going by your heart. That's what that's all about. Well, let's go to chapter 20, verse 7 here. Chapter 20, verse 7. Going to go all the way down to verse 11. There you go, 7:11. O Lord, thou hast deceived me. Whoa. So now Jeremiah is starting to whine, isn't he? Sounds like he's given up. Well, listen up here. For those folks out there that are trying to get people to understand Paul, King James Bible, rightly divided, all this kind of stuff, listen, this is how some people eventually look to. They don't see the numbers. They lose their friends. They lose their family. Some lose their jobs. Life can get really tough. And here's what Jeremiah finally came around to say. O Lord, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocketh me. I'll tell you what, if there's anything that makes pastors angry, it's a King James only guy. But the King James only guys, those pastors, they get angry when you talk about rightly dividing the Bible, according to Paul. They do. I mean, they really do. So when Jeremiah says, everyone mocketh me, same thing goes on with Paul teaching people. For since I spake, I cried out. I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. Now, I could give you a list of people that I know that no longer talk about Paul, no longer talk about King James Bible, no longer talk about rightly dividing, no longer talk about the risen Savior. And I can give you a list, every pastor that I've been involved with in my past, in my ministry over the years, they do not talk about the King James Bible anymore. They do not talk about Paul. They do not talk about the risen Savior. It didn't bring in money. It didn't bring people into their churches. So then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But here's real Jeremiah. But his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. He couldn't quit. I wonder how many folks out there that have listened to this website and gave up and quit, and they've come back, because they just know. You know, you go back to church and you sit there and you're thinking, this guy, what is he talking about? I got to get out of here. Well, they go back and they get back into the old music, you know, and they go, this stuff just feeds my flesh. This isn't right. They really can't quit. They really can't. Then he says in verse 10, and here's part of the reason he's having such a hard time. For I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watched for my halting. Halting is if Jeremiah were to stumble and trip. You see somebody that believes in the King James Bible rightly dividing, and you think that they're supposed to be these perfect little Christians, you know. Now, you don't understand the grace of God. You don't understand imputation. You don't understand all things are lawful. That's why we still have to be careful, because some things still aren't expedient. There's still some strings attached. There's some things that, yeah, we can do them, but the works will burden the judgment seat of Christ. So if somebody sees you doing that stuff, it's going to cause them to stumble. As Paul following, risen Savior following, King James Bible following people, we have to remember, people are looking for us to trip. They're looking for us to mess up. And we certainly don't need to give them some opportunities, although we have the liberty of Christ, but still. And he says here, all my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. I mean, they're just waiting for us to trip. They're just looking. And have you ever been living under the microscope of other people? You've got parents, you've got kids, you've got community people, and they know where you stand. So you King James guys that are listening, and you Paul following website people, you know what it's like. They're just looking. They're just trying to find any little thing that you did that they believe would be your halting. Because it says here, he will be enticed. Well, we can be enticed. We shall prevail against him. Verse 11, but the Lord is with me as a mighty, terrible one. Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. See, Jeremiah had these moments of wanting to quit. It was tough to tell the Israelites of God that you're rejecting God's words. It's tough. It was tough for Paul to tell people. They tried to kill him a number of times. He had all sorts of things happen to him. And those of you out there that are listening and you know that you believe what you believe in these scriptures to be what they say they are, no special teachings from Paulson. This is not a Paulsonite message here. This is not a Paulsonite website. This is just showing people what the scriptures say. And if you want to go looking around for other things, if you want to pop on YouTube, if you want to go looking for some other pastors that might be preaching it, you keep looking around, whatever. I am not trying to build a church. I am not trying to get anything going. I'm not doing this for the money. Believe me. But this is what has to be said today. That's all we're doing here. This is the challenge that we have to go through, that Paul went through, that Jeremiah went through himself. Well, we're running out of time. Let's keep going here. Let's go to Jeremiah 27:11. We'll finish that up here. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1 and 2. He says, "Woe be to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord." See, God isn't going to get those pastors today, but he will visit upon them the evil of their doings, either during the tribulation or during their judgment, because they won't be having the judgment seat of Christ. They're teaching a false gospel. Their scriptures, their Bible, is not the word of truth. They're not teaching the gospel of people's salvation. They're teaching, like I say, a false gospel to people today. So yeah, they scattered the flock. They are destroying and scattering the sheep today. Now, here's another bunny trail. Paul never calls the Gentiles sheep, because we're not that flock. We're not the Israelites. We're not God's people. We're not his sheep. We're his family. We're still there. We're Christians. Nor are we referred to as sheep. So when you're reading about sheep, you're reading about the Israelites. Jesus was their shepherd. Is he our shepherd? I suppose you could say that if you want, but you just confuse issues. You don't separate the issue between Jews and Gentiles. We're not his sheep. Again, you just look at this. You look at the difference in the word sheep in the Gospels and the Old Testament. You look at the word sheep in Paul's writings, and they're not there. So he doesn't call his sheep. That was easy enough. Okay, we go to verse 3. "And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries, whither I have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds." That's what's going to take place in those days. He says, "I will set up shepherds over them which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord." But see, that never happened. They rejected him. Go to verse 11. Oh, these get so good. I think I'll just read the verses here. "For both prophet and priest are profane. Yea, in my house have I found their wickedness, saith the Lord. Wherefore their way shall be unto them as slippery ways in the darkness. They shall be driven on and fall therein, for I will bring evil upon them, even the year of their visitation, saith the Lord." That'll be the tribulation. "And I have seen folly in the prophets of Samaria. They prophesied in Baal and caused my people Israel to err." Now remember, we're looking at what Jeremiah was going through, what he's talking about, what God told Jeremiah and told Jeremiah to say was to the Israelites. We're looking to what Jeremiah said and what he went through to understand what it is for us today to tell the Gentiles that they're rejecting the words of God. The consequences of what Jeremiah preached don't take place today, but it will during the tribulation, and it will during their white throne judgment. Okay, let's keep going here. But I could just say here, see, for example here, the pastors today, what are they doing? They're causing their people, the Gentiles, they're causing the Gentiles to err. That's what they're doing. Let's go to 16. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision of their own heart, and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them that despise me, The Lord hath said, Ye shall have peace. And they say unto every one that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, No evil shall come upon you. For who hath stood in the counsel of the Lord, and hath perceived and heard his word? Who hath marked his word and heard it? Well, they sure don't today. The pastors and teachers today, they don't say that they've got the word of God. They just don't. They don't even make that claim. Let's go to verse 21. I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. I have not spoken to them, yet they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel and had caused my people to hear my words, then they should have turned them from their evil way and from the evil of their doings. So if the pastors today would just cause the Gentile people to hear God's words, it'll turn them from their evil way. It'll turn them from their lost Ephesians chapter 2, 12, 13 verse. It'll turn them from that stuff. But he won't do it. He says in verse 25, I have heard what the prophet said, that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. You ever heard that speech before? Verse 26, how long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream, and he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? Is not my word like as a fire, saith the Lord, and like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces? Therefore, behold, I am against the prophet, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor. I am against the prophet, saith the Lord, that use their tongues and say, He saith. Verse 32, Behold, I am against them that prophesy false dreams, saith the Lord, and do tell them, and cause my people to err by their lies and by their lightness. Yet I sent them not, nor commanded them. Therefore they shall not profit this people at all, saith the Lord. And yet we're looking at days today where these churches with these fantastic fair speech and people, preachers and pastors, they seem to be profiting now, but the prophet will be gone very soon. I hope you understand what I'm talking about. When I say prophets, we don't have any prophets today. We have a King James Bible. And a pastor is supposed to be preaching the King James Bible to the Gentiles. We're just looking the way God said things to Jeremiah, and they're fantastic. They are so, that's the way it's going on today. I'll probably start this again on Monday, this chapter 23. And see if I can get you to see what God thinks about these pastors today that are causing his people to err. And actually, these people are not even God's people anymore. They're just that imitation Christian being preached to by imitation pastors with an imitation salvation in imitation churches led by an imitation spirit. We will continue this on Monday. Stay with it, folks. Drop me a line, SusanMann@Bechtel.com. Get on my website, www.scatteredchristians.org. Get my addresses, write to me, call me on the phone, whatever, and try to get in touch with me. I won't bite. Not as near as bad as your pastors will bite. Okay, that's it for today. The goodness of God will leadeth thee to repentance, not the fear and the severity of God. That's my point.